Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
I said today would be verse 29. It is, because we have no purport, so it will be 29 also. Verse 28.
Shri Shuka Uvacha Kamsa Evam Prasannabhyam Vishudam Pratibhashita Tibhashita Devaki Vasudevabhyam Anugyato Vishadgriham Shishugu Vacha Kamsa Evam Vasanabhyam Vishuddham Pratibhashitaha Devaki Vasudevabhyam Anugyato Vishadgriham Shishuka Uvacha.
Shri Shukadev Goswami said,
Kamsaha,
King Kamsa,
Evam,
thus,
Prasanabhyam,
who were very much appeased.
Vishuddham,
in purity.
Pratibhashitaha,
being answered.
Devaki Vasudevabhyam,
by Devaki and Vasudeva.
Anugyataha,
taking permission,
avishat,
entered,
griham,
his own palace. Translation and no purport by Srila Prabhupada. Shukadeva Goswami continued, thus having been addressed in purity by Devaki and Vasudev, who were very much appeased, Kamsa felt pleased, and with their permission he entered his home. Text 29, I'll read myself.
Tasyam ratriyam vyatitayam Kamsa ahuya mantrinaha Tebya achashta tatsarvam yaduktam yoga nidraya.
After that night passed, Kamsa summoned his ministers and informed him of all that had been spoken by Yogamaya, who had revealed that he who was to slay Kamsa had already been born somewhere else. Purport: the Vedic scriptures, Chandi, describes Maya, the energy of the Supreme Lord, as Nidra.
Durga sarvabhuteshu nidra rupena samastitaha.
The energy of Yoga Maya and Mahamaya keeps the living entities sleeping in this material world, in the great darkness of ignorance. Yoga Maya, the goddess Durga, kept Kamsa in darkness about Krishna's birth and misled him to believe that his enemy Krishna had been born elsewhere. Krishna was born the son of Devaki, but according to the Lord's original plan, as prophesied to Brahma, he went to Vrindavan to give pleasure to Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and other intimate friends and devotees for 11 years. Then he would return to kill Kamsa. Because Kamsa did not know this, He believed Yogamaya's statement that Krishna was born elsewhere, not of Devaki. So Yogamaya's lying. But that's her business, too bewildered. You know, that's her responsibility to tell us lies. Here's a nice material situation for you to enjoy and create big lies. She's the biggest liar. But that's her service to Krishna. Great suspense is being created. This Kamsa is such a threat. He's killed 6 sons, and still we're left in suspense. What will happen to these remaining children? To Krishna, to Balaram, to Yogamaya. Will Kamsa prevail and kill them also? He'll certainly make every attempt. And we won't know the outcome for another 11 years. And Devaki and Vasudeva will live in suspense. This is the arrangement of Yogamaya. This is the drama of Krishna's Leela. Maybe we've experienced... I'm sorry, I shouldn't be doing it. Yeah? No, I don't know. I just pulled the different... I don't know why. I thought it should be closer to me, so I yanked at the... I wasn't thinking. We may be similarly experiencing drama in our lives, but we're not enjoying it on the transcendental level. We're thinking this is just plain Maya. You know, that this is a continuation of our material life, that somehow we haven't successfully entered into spiritual life, we're thinking. That Krishna isn't protecting us, that we're not devotees, and we're being buffeted by the material energy, and in our life there are all these petty dramas that keep on going on, situations that don't resolve and seem to torment us forever. It's a material world. There is constant trouble in the material world. What's the difference between the experience of Vasudeva and Devaki and our experience? They're suffering harassment, and we're suffering harassment. But Devaki and Vasudeva are taking it transcendentally, and we're misinterpreting it and thinking that Krishna is not protecting us. Similar situations. We're engaged in Krishna's service, so we should be confident of his protection. Devaki and Vasudeva are engaged in Krishna's service, and they are confident of his protection. But sorry, I keep wanting to pull it closer. The difference is the attitude, that they actually trust Krishna, and we're struggling to learn how to trust Krishna. And because we trust Krishna imperfectly, therefore we're suffering. Living entities suffer because of not trusting Krishna. Bhayam dvitiya binivishatak syad ishad apetasya viparyayo smriti tanmayaya. And it's all arranged by Yogamaya in her material aspect. Mahamaya, who is the expansion of Yogamaya, is arranging that whoever, anybody who develops a separatist attitude, dvitiyabhinivesita, allows himself to become involved with anything that he imagines is separate from Krishna. Nothing is actually separate from Krishna. But we pretend that we have a life apart from Krishna that has nothing to do with Krishna. Viter tam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tadvidyad atmano mayam yatad baso yatad tamaha. This is my Maya. Krishna is defining it. The Mayavadis say that Maya is anirvachaniya, cannot be defined. They can say that if they want, because that's their excuse, because they can't explain Maya. How can the absolute truth be covered by illusion? Does that illusion actually exist? Then there's not only one, there's two. Two realities. And one of them is the one who's supposed to be the real reality is being defeated by this other reality. This Maya, which shouldn't even exist, is covering over the absolute truth of the illusion. So does that Maya exist? How can she exist? Then there would be two, not one. Two realities. And the second reality is beating the first one. Not possible. Okay, then Maya doesn't exist. But if it doesn't exist, if Maya doesn't exist, then how can she have any effect? How can she cover anything with illusion if she doesn't exist? So, okay, our stand there, and the Mayavadis finally say, Anirvachaniya, don't ask the question. It cannot be answered. Whether Maya exists or not exists is not to be answered. Just shut up and don't ask. So they say Maya cannot be defined. You can't even define whether she exists or not. But Krishna defines. He doesn't care what the Mayavadis say. He gives definition of Maya. Vityartam yat pratyayata. Whatever appears. Okay, forget about what exists and what doesn't exist. You're experiencing something. Whether it exists or doesn't, you're experiencing it. You think, you're living in a world and you think it's real. Vityartam. But if you're thinking that it's separate from the ultimate reality, you think it's some separate material reality, then that's Maya. Na pratyayata chatmani. You'd see it separate from the absolute truth and you don't see any absolute truth within it. That's my Maya. Whatever you think is separate from me, even though nothing is really separate from me, you think that something's separate from me, that's what we call Maya. Like a shadow, like a reflection. Reflection is made out of light. It has some reality. It's particles or rays of light. But it's not, you know, reflection of the moon is not the moon. You can't, put your hand on the reflection and say, I've gone to the moon. I've traveled to the moon because I've put my hand on top of the reflection. No, the reflection is not the moon. It doesn't have the substance of the moon. It doesn't have the qualities of the moon. It's just a reflection on a glass or on water. It's just glass or water with light beams on top of it. It's not the moon. It's something, but it's not the moon. And darkness is just the absence of light. So that's your Maya. It's not. It may be something, but it's not what you think it is. It's Krishna's energy, and you're thinking it has nothing to do with Krishna. That's illusion. That's Maya. So when you... But going back to the original verse, Bayam Dvitiya Vinivesha Taksyat. When anybody starts living a life in which he's absorbed in things that apparently are separate from Krishna, even though they can't really be separate from Krishna. He's thinking that there's no Krishna in his life. This is Dvitiya Abhinivesha. There is only one reality, one without a second, Krishna and all of his energies. And you're imagining another world of energies that belong to you instead of belonging to Krishna. Imaginary world where you're the God. This is Dvitiya, the second imaginary world. And you get absorbed in your fantasy world where you're the center. What's the result? Boyam, fear. You're in trouble, and you know it, and you're scared. That's your basic condition. That's material life. You're in trouble, and you know you're in trouble, and you're terrified. You may hide from that fact. You may try to think that you're not afraid, but you're afraid. Just like you send a man into battle, and people are shooting bullets at him. Don't tell me he's not afraid. He may be acting very brave, but I'm sure he doesn't want to get hit by one of those bullets. It's normal to be scared in battle. I've never experienced it, but I can imagine it's very scary. Like that, to live material life is fearful. Even if you put up a big show of being brave or of being jolly, you're in terror because you're separated from Krishna. That's what is being told us. Because you've turned yourself away from Krishna, vipariyo asmritihi, and the consequences are You forget who you really are, and you start imagining you're something else. Tan mayaya. And that is all arranged by Krishna's maya. Ato. Therefore, Buddha abhaje tam bhaktyaika yesham guru devatatma. Therefore, one should correct his situation. He should engage in practicing the service of Krishna to reinstate his original natural condition of being Krishna's loving servant. And you can do this. You can practice enthusiastic and undeviating devotional service by taking serious shelter of Krishna's representatives. Guru Devatatma, you should make your spiritual master the center of your life. Take him as your worshipable deity and your very self, your very soul. Or maybe you interpret Atma to mean intelligence. Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya Chitete Koriya Aikyo Arna Koriya Mone Aj. Whatever the spiritual master says, the words that emanate from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master. Someone who I don't take seriously, so many words are emanating from his mouth and I'm ignoring most of them. Blah, 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 and I hear it day and night. I don't listen because the person speaks so much pajalpa, unessential things, that I'm accustomed to not even listening to him. But when the spiritual master speaks, the disciple should have full confidence that what he speaks is very important. So you think, conceive of it as not just more sound vibration coming out of someone's mouth. You know, like the TV's on and the people are chattering and you don't listen to it. It's just something to keep you awake while you're trying to do your housework. No, not like that. The words emanating from the lotus lips of the spiritual master, something to be cherished and taken very seriously. Whatever the spiritual master says. Chitte te koriya aikya. I must listen and also make a positive confirmation within my heart. Chitete, that I agree with this. Not just whatever he says, okay, but I have to intelligently decide, yes, I agree. I understand what he's saying, I understand the implications, and maybe I'm making a slight, quick calculation, and what does this mean, and what does this contradict, and what are the consequences? And then I say, okay, this makes sense to me, I agree. That's not blind following, intelligent following. The disciple decides, yes, what he says is right. I agree with it. Spiritual master may test you. He may say some nonsense intentionally. And he doesn't want you. You know, he says, yes, we're all God. You know, we're all Krishna. And if your spiritual master is one, you know, all of a sudden says that, well, how are you supposed to react? Yes, Guru Dev, whatever you say is true. You know, if he speaks nonsense, you have to say, wait a minute. Sir, what do you mean by that? Are you sure that's what you know, am I supposed to accept that on face value? Can you explain, please? How is it that we're all God? Spiritual master may test the disciple and say something intentionally wrong. And then the disciple should question. You know, you should actually decide, yes, what he says is right, I agree with it. And if you don't understand how it's right, you should ask. Please explain it. That's intelligent listening. Then when you've decided, yes, I understand, I agree, it doesn't contradict everything else I know, and I have no questions, no doubts, then you put it on your hard drive. You have to store it in your heart. And if there's no room on your hard drive, you have to erase some unnecessary information. Especially if there's anything, arna koriya moneyaj. You've got to make room for it. And especially if there's any contrary opinion, that you've got just the opposite idea already sitting in your hard drive, you've got to erase it. You've got to get any contrary idea, opinions, that you're harboring. You didn't, maybe not intentionally, this is just what I thought. You know, I didn't want to have a contrary opinion against my spiritual master, but he's telling me something, and I thought it was something else. Okay, forget about the something else. Kick it out. To make room for the opinion of your spiritual master, you have to be ready to kick out any other contrary opinion out of your own heart. That's a disciple When you've accepted someone as your guru, then you're ready to act like that. To replace your own opinions with the opinions of the spiritual master. That is actual surrender. Not that you can, you know, offer him, you know, heaps of gold, shower him with flowers until they cover his forehead, you know, and bow down and say so many fancy flatteries. That is not service to the guru. Service to the guru is when you're ready to replace your own opinions with his. It's not an external show. It's something that has to go on the inside, where nobody sees, where nobody will be impressed. Only Krishna and the guru will know what you're thinking. Guru Devatatma, that's what it means. That you make the guru your very self or your very intelligence. My intelligence is defective, so I'll send it to the, you know, to the factory for repair, and until it comes back repaired, I'll borrow my spiritual master's intelligence until my own intelligence starts to function properly. I'll have to just substitute the intelligence of the spiritual master. That is a faithful disciple. And even if he is foolish, if he's willing to substitute the opinions of the guru for his own, then he's safe. Then he can't go wrong. He can't make foolish mistakes because he's not depending on his own intelligence. That is a devotee. That is a demigod. Devata. Those who rely on their own intelligence are asuras. Daivo Vishnu Smito Bhakta. Daivo Vishnu, what? Vishnu Bhakta Prokta, something like that. Demigod, two kinds of people in the world. Dura Bhuta Sarga Loka Smi, Daiva Asura Evacha, Vishnu Bhakta Smito Daiva, Asura Tavipariya. There are two kinds of people in this world, demons and demigods. A devotee of Vishnu is a demigod, and the other people are demons. And the devotee of Vishnu is somebody who trusts the opinion of Vishnu and of the Vaishnavas. It doesn't trust the opinion of the non-Vaishnavas and the demons. We want to honor and show respect to all living beings, but don't trust anybody who is not a surrendered devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You cannot trust the opinion of someone who is not a surrendered devotee of the Lord. Vasudeva is showing respect to Kamsa, but he doesn't trust him. Kamsa cannot be trusted. We read in the purport yesterday. This verse shows, number 29 shows, that even when the demons somehow get the right idea in their head, that opinion cannot remain steady. They will be influenced again by their other demoniac friends and by their own foolish mentality. And that even the right idea cannot stay fixed in their head. Don't trust the demon. Even when he acts nicely and says something nice, the next minute he can stab you in the back. Oh, you can only trust the surrendered devotees of the Lord. And that's our shelter. Santuk santvavalambanam. May the devotees, kripa yashti pradani na, santuk santvavalambanam. This is the words of Krishnadas Kaviraj. May the saintly Vaishnavas give me their protection by, you know, I'm stumbling. May skalad gatir muhu. I'm stumbling, trying to make some progress and always falling flat on my face. So may the compassionate Vaishnavas offer me the stick, walking stick. You know, one's falling down and someone else offers their walking stick to hold them up, catch them from falling down. Like that, may the Vaishnavas please catch me from falling down. They give me the shelter of their compassionate guidance and direction. Hare Krishna. Okay, so any questions or comments? Yes?
What's our best answer? You know, sometimes people say that, you know, us living entities are suffering, but, you know, we look at Ram's pastimes, and Ram was also suffering, you know, like, yeah, he underwent so much suffering, so he was also under the control of Maya. How should we make you defeat that? Please go ahead and you have undergone so much suffering.
Well, proper philosophical understanding, but a non-devotee may not be able to understand or accept this, is that God never suffers, and his devotees never suffer, even when they seem to. But this is subtle. This is the working of Yogamaya. Actually, Prabhupada was asked a similar question. I was there in Hyderabad, on the farm north of Hyderabad, and there was I must have told this before. There was a news conference one afternoon. Newspaper reporters came. Disciples were there. Prabhupada was answering questions of the reporters. One lady from Hyderabad, newspaper reporter, asked a technical question about why Lord Ramachandra was suffering in the forest. He's supposed to be God. You know, and he seems to have undergone so much tribulation. So Prabhupada's answer was that this is proof that the association of women is always the cause of suffering, even if you are God. I don't know if you want to say that.
Yeah.
So it's a little hard to explain because it's the fact is that devotees don't suffer even when they seem to. God never suffers. It's just his sport. He likes to pretend to suffer sometimes, just to enjoy the drama. You know, the story of Ramachandra is a drama. It's like actors maybe playing it on a stage. The actors are not suffering. They're having fun. You know, performing the pitiable drama. But they're not suffering. They're not suffering themselves. I'm sorry. Yeah.
One more place in Prabhupada also said he proves that he's a person. That shows that Ram is a person.
It proves that he's a person. That he has feelings. Yes. God's not impersonal. He suffers compassion for his devotees and so on. Because he's a person.
This in Mathas and we, so they gave a very the ones they were answering this question.
Yes.
So they give an answer that God caters to all the different kinds of people. God is a giver of happiness to those who are in sattva, those who are in rajas and tamasic also. So when the people who are sattva, they listen to this and they enjoy that mellow, see how good he is in God, he is coming here and behaving like a human being, and that gives them sublime pleasure. Now those who are tamasic and those who want to reject God, the same leela they will see and see, they say that he is God, there is no God, we are all and suffered. And so that's the matter for them to for tamasic people to relish in their own way, and all the world of the anathamas, they relish it in that way. So God caters to everyone in the same.
Yeah. Okay.
Say,
yeah, yeah. I have a hard time, and he has a hard time also, just say. Thank you.
So how do we similar thing when somebody says that, you know, Maya is created by human beings, you know, they can switch on Maya or they can switch off Maya. So, I mean, because they don't see the role of the Lord in action, then it becomes Maya.
How can you claim that you have power to turn Maya on and off?
Yeah.
You're suffering from a bad back. Why don't you turn it off? You know, do you like that suffering? You know, I don't know, maybe you don't have a bad back. You've got something wrong with you. You have some suffering in your life. Why don't you just turn it off? You don't have the power to turn off Maya. You know, you've got so much Maya bothering you, and you have no control over it. You can't claim that. That's a, you know, ridiculous claim. We don't. One thing that we have to accept is that whatever this suffering is, we have no control over it. Otherwise, we'd stop suffering. If we could turn it off. It's not just another television channel. You can just switch the channel. Zap it off. You can't do it. It doesn't go away. What is it? Nanivartite is that famous verse that's repeated 6 times in the Bhagavatam. Even though it's just like a dream, the difference is this dream doesn't go away. So it's not like just like a dream. It's a dream that won't go away. That's the problem. That's why we have to take it seriously. Maya, you got to take seriously because it doesn't go away. The Shastra, the Vedas, Upanishads, and other Shastras do describe the transformation of the Absolute Truth and the manifestation of duality, of material creation. That is described. But then they're giving their interpretation that the evolution of duality from the One Supreme must be illusion, cannot be real. This is where they don't have support of Shastra. The assumption that any duality must be unreal. There are real dualities. Spiritual existence, the spiritual world, is full of real variety. And the material world is also real. It's just inferior and temporary. You know, and it very often, to us, it appears to be something else than it really is. We think it's permanent, we think it's real, and we assign certain inappropriate understandings of what we think it is. But it is something, it is real. So what is unshastric is the assumption that the evolution of duality from the Supreme must be unreal. That is not supported by Shastra. That is their concocted theory. And that's what the Vaishnavas consistently attack. The idea that duality must be unreal. And you're right, yeah, for that there's no support to Shastra. There is description in Shastra about how there is evolution of duality. But actually that's a real evolution. It's factual. It is Krishna's real energies evolving.
Is it some shloka given somewhere in the Shastra like that this material world is existing like a real...
Well, Daivatma Shaktir. Tetam apashyam, Daivatma Shaktir, in the Mundaka Upanishad, they saw the Lord's transcendental creative energy from which everything evolves. But it's the Lord's, it belongs to the Supreme Lord, therefore it should be real. Why assume? If it belongs to the property of God, why should property of God be unreal? You know, they cannot get in their heads, the Mayavadis, that the Lord possesses real potencies. Parasya Shaktir, Vividaiva Shriyate. He has various potencies. Everything isn't one. He's one, but his energies are multiple. They have many different functions and evolve in various ways. That the Mayavadis can't really understand. That's where they get stuck.
They cannot
understand the Lord's energy. That Maya is his energy. Maya is real, and it belongs to the Lord, and it is his subordinate creative energy. That they can't understand. The concept of the Lord's Shakti, his energy. That he possesses energies, and his energies are real. And act in his service. They assume the energies must be unreal. Yes, they're all connected with the Supreme, but they're illusion connected to the Supreme. Everything evolves from the Supreme, including illusion. But why illusion? Why are all the dualities illusion? That's a wrong assumption. Okay. Yes, bro.
The actual knowledge that anything is not separate from Krishna and everything is, nothing is separate, is that understanding So if that understanding is there in any situation when a living entity is there, whether he is suffering the worst kind of thing, so if he gets this understanding of non-separatist understanding, then he can begin his pure devotional life anytime.
If he has that understanding, he's already succeeded in achieving his spiritual, then he is a pure devotee already. No, he's already succeeded. To have that consciousness, he must already be fully surrendered. You know, if you can accept everything as being controlled by Krishna, then tatra ka moha ka shoka atmana manupashyata. When you see the influence and the presence of the Supreme Soul everywhere, in everything, then what question is there of your suffering any confusion or lamentation? You know, you are liberated. If you're in that consciousness. Yeah. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.